morning, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate, and Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. At the 3:30 Bible class this afternoon, Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the search to find in the Scriptures the answer to the question, what is the difference between a wife and a concubine? There are two men's Bible studies this week. One will be at the church on Tuesday, January 9th at 7 p.m. And the other Bible study, this is the men's Bible studies, will be at the Laurels home in San Jose on Thursday, January 11th at 7:30 p.m. So if you have any questions, please contact Victor Laurel or Pastor Tomlinson. And would you also refer to your bulletin for other activities scheduled for this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled during this coming week. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 113, verses 1 through 3. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 50, Fairest Lord Jesus. Let's continue our worship with hymn number 44, And Can It Be That I Should Gain?
Thank you.
you please stand now as we sing hymn number 230, Saved, Saved.
Our Heavenly Father, King David said, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. And Father, we have come into thy house, the house of worship, because it is pleasant. We have come to find from thy word healing for our life, power for our life, strength for our daily walk. And I pray, Father, that as we praise your name, as we read thy holy word, and as we look upon thy holy word and draw the wonderful counsel, we pray that each one of us may apply it to our life, and that we may be found a child of God. Thank you, Father, that you have compassion on us. Thank you for your mercies who never end. Thank you for your grace that reaches the unreachable and saves the impossible. Father, we do have as a church body some special requests this morning. I pray for our brother McDowell as he is scheduled to have surgery this coming Tuesday. That you be with him, that your hand of power upon the doctors, upon the nurses, upon the people that will be involved, and that finally he will get his back in the right place. Lord, we are still praying for Loretta Forrest, the wonderful lady who gives us an example of endurance and patience as she awaits that moment when she's going to be with you. She's a joy to be with, and it's wonderful to see a believer laid down on a bed just for the testimony of thy grace. And Father, we have listeners across the world, and we have Mary and Jerry West. Mary just have surgery and been in the hospital for 15 days in Costa Rica. And Mr. West is scheduled again for another review on his colon cancer on March. And we pray that your mercy be upon their life. Thank you, Lord, that across the world we have people who really listen and want to know. And for Kim, who lives in a city in Korea, we pray that as she looks for an employment and pursue her life, you will bless her richly she listened to us also. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for the broadcast in the Korean language on television that our brother Henry is providing through the web page. Thank you, Lord, that many other people in different language can hear our sermon and can really understand what God is saying because of your mercy and because of your compassion. Father, we do have missionaries all around the world. Fred and Carol Lewis now, and very soon, maybe on March, on Pasadena, California. Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. Eusebio Marisa Perez in Malaga. David and Denise Rhodes in Papua New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Vendano in Guatemala, building the new building for the church. Marta Poretti in Argentina. Dante and Maruja Rabines, Dr. Rabines in Iquitos, Peru. Jose and Diane Avila, ready to go to Costa Rica. And for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, for the Christian Athletic Association, and for Daniel and Miriam Lacey, who are ministering here in the United States of America. And Father, we pray this morning, especially for all the deacons, as tomorrow we have to meet and make one of the greatest decisions or the most responsible decision so far in the life of this church, the purchase of the land right on the right side of our property, to enlarge ourselves to a triple dimension and then launch the new buildings for our church. Lord, we pray that as we look upon the papers that has been written by the developers and by the brokers and all these, we pray that the deacons will discern what is proper for our church. And then, Father, you brought this to us. We don't look for this. We were not for sale, but you brought this to us. And so we believe this is your will. Thank you, Lord, that you will foresee for us to expand it, to have it better facilities. Thank you, Father, right in the same place. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please guide us and lead us into what is right. Again, Father, I'm thankful for the provision that you are every Sunday, you are moving your people to give. And so we are thankful. We are thankful and thankful that they love you. And because they love you, they give. Bless the offering and bless the giver. And Father, we pray today that without your word, we have nothing to say. And without your spirit, we are helpless. Therefore, give us your word today. And let the Spirit show us your way. In Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Luke? If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 612. We will be reading Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 24. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 24. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them. And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, What a man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. In not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again, and he was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we come into your presence knowing that you have made it possible by sending the Lord Jesus Christ, who was obedient even to death on the cross for our sake. We thank you that he seeks out sinners such as we are, and that his life, death, and resurrection was put to our account by faith. We are overwhelmed by such graciousness. Strengthen us that we may walk worthy of our calling. We pray for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. We thank you for sending teachers and pastors who, through their study, further explain the scriptures so that we may gain knowledge of the extent of your graciousness. Bless Pastor as he comes to expose your word. We pray for all listening here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD that we may understand and apply the teaching today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
I'm just rejoicing in the fact that we finish a series of 8 sermons on December. We package the Lord Jesus Christ from the morning to the evening, and I still receive emails, and I saw the tapes are gone. How wonderful it is to talk about Jesus and deep theology and analyze His wonders and His kindness. Now, on January, I like to bring in the morning service a series of sermons, of 4 of them, on character and how you can be reconciled with God, as we have in the Bible some wonderful examples of people that have been reconciled with God, or that they show to us the character of God, like Joseph in our coming Sunday, the character of God in a marvelous way. Today, I'd like to call your attention to the scripture our brother have read. It is in Luke chapter 15. And we're going to look upon especially this reconciliation with God that happened on the prodigal son. As you know, in Luke 15, as you heard the reading, there are 3 parables packaged in 1 chapter. And the 3 parables talk about reconciliation with God. The first parable is, there are those people who, like the lost sheep, they went astray, they are misinformed, they do not have the Bible as the rule and practice of their life. And then when you don't have this book in your hands as a compass, then you're going to go to the wrong way. And so God put that there, that there are people in this world who, unfortunately, they never have been informed of that God wrote the book called the Bible. Or perhaps they heard, but they don't believe it. And so they read anything else in the world, and they are way off because of the book. And then, as you saw the brother, there are those who, like the lost coin, become victims of people that care less around you. You are lost and nobody offers you a hand. That's what I like, Chris. When you go out with Chris to anything, we go after the prayer meeting to the Starbucks, and Chris just pull out his package of tracts and Bibles and start passing to people. One of those days they're going to throw us out of the Starbucks here in town. But it's good, because nobody is doing a hand to anybody. And now they know us. Oh, they come, they said. We are coming in. We take one section of the Starbucks over there. I'm sitting around and watching the young people doing the witness. And our brother, even in the street and passing by and so on, it's just wonderful to have the dedication, because people are like a lost coin. They had no idea that one day God is going to call us for judgment. Now come to the third parable. And it's called in the world the prodigal son. All right? You know, and you hear sermons about that. And this parable reveals a man who is lost in his own volition. We can refer that today in America. Out of the 3, I refer this one, because picture the American people. I know what I'm going. I know what I'm doing with my life. People in America say, we are free, and I can do what I want. See, their own volition is showing in the pride of the American culture. From the time I came here in the 60s, that's the standard. I can do what I want to. It is not the standard of other countries, because you can do what you want to. The government will limit you. But here, you have freedoms everywhere. I study what I want to. No, in a Spanish country, you study what your daddy tells you to study. All right? I live what I want to. No, my mother said, no, you don't want to live outside the Buenos Aires. You live right by here. So if Raquel don't feed good, I feed you. You know? That is a different culture altogether. And God feeds all of us in a marvelous way. That's why God repeats himself. So that he feeds the culture. And so today, this sermon is going to show you how lost you are and how you can be reconciled with God according to God's plan. So we're going to study together. You don't have to take notes. There is an outline place for you in the bulletin so that you can follow. All right? Now, the Bible divides people in two categories. One is the natural person. When you are born, you are a natural person. And then they have the spiritual person later on. And God referred to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and then verse 13 and 14, I read it for you. So it's not my idea. I want you to know that what I communicate with you is God's idea. And God said there are two kinds of people. The natural person could be very intelligent, very rich and very powerful, and the spiritual person. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:13, and we impart these in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting a spiritual truth to those who possess the Spirit. Now look at verse 14. The natural man or the unspiritual man does not receive the gift of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He doesn't understand it. And he's not able to understand them because they are a spiritual discern. The word discern is the word to judge. When you go into the Bible and you're going to look into spiritual things, you need to judge yourself in comparison to what God is saying. Now, what you need to discern is what God's saying, is what I'm myself, or is talking about somebody else. And so that's the natural man. We're all born in that way. There is no one person in the entire universe that was born with the knowledge of God in their heart. They were born with the seed of God. You studied Jeremiah today. He was born with the seed of God in the heart. God already chose him before the foundation of the world to do some work for him in a really rough time in Israel, at the end of Israel's life. But everybody is born in the natural man. Look at verse 15. The spiritual man judges all things. In other words, he discerns all things, but he himself to be judged by no one. In other words, when you're spiritual, you put your life on the Bible and you say, this is what the Bible said. This is what I am. I make corrections in my life and I move on. Constantly judging, like a pilot, constantly judging the equipment in his plane and the target where he goes. Constantly discerning where is my move, is what the screen tell me, where a place I'm going to go or not. And so today, I'm going to bring to your attention, wherever you are going in life is your business, but I want to show you where, if you take the wrong path, where you can end. But that's not the end. God always has a strong arm to pull you out. So let's just study together, all right? Here we are. Open your Bible in Luke chapter 15 now, and we're going to start studying the natural person. Here's a person who took a wrong turn. You know, wrong turns are not taken just once. You just miss one street and miss the other, and happened to me many times, especially when I go to the East Coast, land in Newark. I used to go to Tuscarora, and the freeways over there are really funny. And you exit on the left. And I'm looking on the, and always I end up in the middle of Newark rather than keep on going north. And so I miss it again. But, you see a sign, you read the sign wrong, and then you take one street wrong, so I think it's the next street. Your wife talks to you, don't listen, you keep on going. All right, I'm a natural man too, you know, and that happened. And then you're in the middle of the town, nowhere. You say, well, where, how do I get out? Then you ask, how do I get to the freeway? Oh, just take the next street and go straight. All right, can be so close. All right, let's get to work on the natural man. As you look, chapter 15, we're going to start with verse 11. The natural man has self-will. Verse 11. And Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. All right, and the younger said, Father, look at verse 12, Father, give me. That sounds like childhood, right? Give it to me. That's mine. All right? I have only one daughter. I had no problem whatsoever with that. When she said, give it to me, it's hers. But I got three granddaughters. And especially the last two, they were too close. So when they're two together, I hear, no, this is mine. This is mine. Give it to me. You know, do you hear that? It's natural. He said, give to me, he said, the share of property, the wealthy, that falls to me. You know, I check how much money we have, and we're only two brothers. This is mine. And he's over 12. According to the Hebrew law, he is correct. The father has to sell and give it to him, because after 12, he needs to possess his inheritance. And so he said, give it to me. Self-will. Give it to me. I know. Self-will destroys anybody. Self-will. Verse 13. Selfishness. No many days later, the younger son gathered all he had. He was careful. Selfishness. He did not share with his brother and said, brother, maybe you need something? This is all mine, but do you need anything that you can use from here? No, he gathered all. I can picture him looking into this and looking into the papers. Is there any more? Is any stock someplace in New York? You know, he's looking into every detail. And you can see the selfishness of the heart. The natural man never is going to share. He wants everything for him. Because that's natural. So verse 13 talk about selfishness. Now when you have selfishness, always, read this, always selfishness, look at verse 13, cause separation. Look at verse 13. Many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took his journey into where? Into a far country. Selfishness. You know, when everything is, I want everything for me, you're going to be separated. Either by yourself or people will not be around you. That's very simple. So we have here separation. No idea of God, no respect of God. I'm sure he heard about God. His other brother was seems godly, but has another problems, but he was godly. His father was godly, but this fellow, he took the wrong place. And you hear homes where when one child is a real believer and the other child had nothing to do with God. All right? There are things like that. But everything, when you say, I don't want God in my life, I want everything for me, you're separating yourself from everybody. From everybody, period. Now, this is going down very bad. Because this is not an uphill stair. This is downhill. You have self-will that causes selfishness. Then separation. Look at in verse 13 again. Sensuality. Look at what verse 13 says. Gathered all he had and took his journey into far country. And what? And there he wasted his property and loose living. Sensuality. Have nothing to live with, you know. It's just me and me and me. And when the heart is alone, and you leave your heart alone, Jeremiah is so good in 17, who said the heart of man is a slippery. When you leave the heart alone, the only direction they go is in the wrong place. You leave your heart alone without the compass of God, or the admonition of the Spirit of God, and you ruin your life. Sensuality. The only thing that protect me and my professional sport life was the reading of my grandmother. She read the Bible and she scared me to death. Boy, this is for you, she said. Oh, wow. When you grow up, it's still in your head. This is for you, said grandma. This is for you. And this is you, she said. Oh, boy. But true, thank God. Thank God I have a grandmother who was truthful to the scripture. Sensuality. Now come 14, a spiritual destruction. Look at verse 14. And when he had spent everything, when he had spent everything, a great famine arose. And he began to be in want. In other words, now he's feeling, hey, where is my family? Where is my brother? Where is my dad? What is that? What is the farmer that worked at my daddy's farm? I'm alone. He started seeing the reality of what this condition of his life is a destitution. And everything is spiritually and physically and mentally, he's gone. Verse 15, self-abasement. That means the state of depression and degradation. But self, he became depressed because of him. And degraded because of him. Look at verse 15, what the Bible says. So he joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to feed the swine. Now, again, American culture cannot reach the implications. When you have a daddy who has money, you are somebody in your neighborhood. You dress with a suit. You just walk. And when people see you, they revere you because you are the son of so-and-so, who is a rich fellow. That's the culture in Europe, and that's the culture around the world. When you go to a school and you apply, the first question is, what do your daddy do for business? So my daddy studied here. He was an engineer. Oh, please come in. They don't know if you're a dummy or whatever, but please come in. All right, here's a man of money. Now, that's the culture this boy grew up. And now what he's doing? Verse 15. This must be the most depressing moment of his life. It was designed by God, by the way. That is the only way you can reach that man. That the only way that he can awake, like you will see in a few minutes, was designed by, only God can design something like this. And press the man to nothing. Verse 15 is amazing to me. So he joined himself to one of the citizens of the country who sent him into his field to feed the swine. Now that's the worst labor you can have. The most degrading labor you can have. In America, you don't categorize your labor. But in any place else, you categorize your labor. You work in the field, you are nothing. Remember when Joseph, you will hear next Sunday, when Joseph, Pharaoh said to Joseph, bring your dad. We are so happy with you. He said, sir, sorry. My dad is a farmer. So what? Sir, my dad worked with the sheep. He feed, bring it in. Bring it in. It's okay. Your dad is a low category, but bring it in. You never think in that way, but that's the culture of the scripture. And this fellow has been grow up, has been walking around. Who knows what he said to his servants. And now he's got to feed the swine. That must be the lowest point of his entire life. Verse 16 comes the worst. Again, designed by God. Starvation. Look at verse 16. Amazing. And he will gladly have fed on the pots that the swine ate. And no one gave him anything. No one authorized him to touch the food. You feed the swine, but you don't touch it. These guys sit down in his house and the servants put the tablecloth and the china and the plates and the knife, and he's used to a first class dinner, and now he feeds the swine and he is not allowed to take some of this garbage and put it in his mouth. God designed this in a marvelous way. That is the only way to touch the life of people who are self-willed. And 38 years of pastorship, I never had somebody reach coming to me to talk about the Lord unless he lost everything. And then they listen. So the natural person, I go again with you. The natural person first has, in this category, there are many instances and many revelations of the natural person. But in this case, God showed us a person who has self-will. I made it myself. Oh, I'm a self-made man, told me somebody. Dangerous people. Girls, don't marry somebody like that. Very dangerous. Self-will. Because they have selfishness. And because selfishness is separation. I have my own life. Sensuality. He spent without measure and without discernment. A spiritual destitution. Very soon he finds himself that he is alone. And then he finds the payment of his life on his life. Self-abasement. Self-destruction. He lost everything and he can't figure out how. But he brought that to him. Finally, he's on the bottom. Starvation. Now, is any hope for somebody like that? If you know somebody like that, is any hope for somebody who has been on the top and now because of his bad judgment and bad discernment and bad actions and his self-will, he's right on the bottom. Is any hope for somebody like that? Well, thank God that he designed these things in the life of people to reach people. Now we have the rest of the scripture reveals in a spiritual person. But I want to show you the steps to become that spiritual person. Now he's on the bottom. Now we're going to take the steps up and see. What is the first step? Verse 17, realization. Unless someone realizes you are at the bottom of your life, you never go anywhere. Look at verse 17, what the scripture said. It's amazing. But when he came to himself, when he came to himself, came to his senses, says some scripture. When he said, boy, oh boy, look at me. I have nothing. And I can do nothing. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, but I perish here without hunger. Man, oh man, I'm worse than my father's servant. An employee in the times of the Bible in the farm is a servant. You have no time off. The other day I went to do something. I don't know where I was. I had to do the. He said, well, wait. Oh, I had to make some copies. And the employee in his table said, just have to wait. I have my break. My break? What break? He said, my break. What, you break something? No. My break. My break, she said. You understand? I said, what break? Break. I had to go. Why? Are you not employed here 8 hours? Yeah, I said, but every 2 hours I have 15 minutes. Why? I said, I'm tired. Oh, come on. You are younger than me. I said, and so I jumped to the side of the, show me how to do this. And so I said, people came in and I made some coffee for people. Breaks. I tell you, there is no breaks in the Bible. You work until you die. No wonder America is like that. When he came to himself, when he said, boy, oh boy, the worst of my employees and my father have better treatment than I have. I'm really low. Now that's something unusual. That's something that a natural man will not come by his own mind to get to that point. God is working. God is working. So the realization, I'm wrong. I blew it. That's what it means when he came to himself. When the person said, I blew it. Then God said, all right, now we're going to work. Now we're going to work. See, some people think because I know the Bible says, you talk to so-and-so, especially here in the coffee shop. Well, come with me, you talk to so-and-so, he will find God. No, if that person is not touched by God first, if that person is touched by God, that person will request somebody to talk about God. But I talk anyway, but I know that God has to intervene. And God intervened. This man realized, I'm absolutely at the end of my life with nobody to help. Now there is a resolution in verse 18. Verse 18 said, I will arise. That's the first resolution. I will no longer stay where I am. I will arise and go to my Father, and I will say to Him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before You. What's the resolution? He said, I have sinned against Father. Father, you know what? The word sin means, is the word amartia in the Greek language, which is the reply of this Hebrew word. It means you are shooting, and you are shooting, and always means the target. Okay, have you shoot in the range? You shoot, and the guy from the pit show you with a thing where you hit the bullet. And shoot, and miss the target. And he said, I have seen. I have tried with for myself as hard as I can, and I miss it. I'm going to tell that to my Father. He never did it before. He remember when we started? He said, he collects everything the Father did, and he checked it. He has everything he needs. And all this is mine. And now he said, Father, I did wrong. See, that's a gift of God. When you look into your life and say, I live my life all by myself, independently of God. God, wherever you are, please. I'm wrong. Realization. Resolution in verse 18. I will go to my Father and tell Him, I'm wrong. Now, repentance, verse 19. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Look, this is what He's going to say. I'm not worthy to call your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. Lord, I'm no longer there. Repentance. Complete repentance. Lord, not even think I'm your son. It's just amazing. I'm not worthy. Usually in our natural state, we think that we are worthy. You got a diploma from the university. I have a bachelor degree, I have a master degree, I have a doctor degree. I'm somebody. Well, before God, we are nobody. We are nobody. But it's very hard to say, God, I'm nobody. Wait a minute, God, I have a master here, this and this. You know, Paul said one time to the Galatians, they really went bad on him. And he said, wait a minute. And you read in Galatians 1, he gave you all the diplomas from Greeks and all these. He was a philosopher. And then he said, oh, I speak in the flesh. I'm nobody. I'm not worthy to be a child of God. That's the very beginning. And nobody start in that way, in a natural way. When God press you and touch you, give you that gift, to recognize where you are. I'm not worthy. Verse 20 and 21, reconciliation. How this guy became one with God. Let me read it carefully, because it's explained so good in the Bible. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his Father. Now, be careful what's happened now. Because before he speaks, something happened. But while he was yet at a distance, his Father saw him and said, I'm going to get even. He was with a machine gun and said, oh, he's coming. All right. He wastes my money. No, sir. You and I love God because of that word, compassion. Compassion. We have no deserve anything from God. We deserve God with a machine gun and say, oh, you come to me now? Boom, boom, go. But it's not that way. Our God is a God of compassion. After all, He initiated all. He put the man down to the point that he cannot do anything else except to look up and say, God, I have to move on. Where is God? He said, compassion. And run and embrace Him. Amazing. Now, after God initiated, after God provoked him, look at verse 21. How wonderful. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned again. I blew it against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Reconciliation. Who does the reconciliation? The way of reconciliation is possible because of the compassion of God. If you are way down, don't feel you are a piece of garbage. Just look up and see God pulling the rope slowly, bringing you to Him. Now look at what God does, verse 22. You cannot be dirty in the house of the king. So, verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe. I like that. I like to dress good. Bring the best robe. I wonder if he bought it in Macy's. But quickly, the best robe. And put it on him. And put a ring in his hand. And shoes in his feet. And bring the best lamb here. And we're going to have fun together. Put a ring in his hand. Now, son, as a ring, each time I marry people, I do the ceremony with people. I remind them that the circle of the ring is endless. And that means that's your relationship to your wife or to your husband. And now here's what the father is saying. The relationship between me and you is endless. Here's my ring. And in the spiritual arena, God give you the Holy Spirit into your heart. And it's not going to go away until you go into the presence of God. What a God we have. What a God. So here you have reclothing. And then, of course, you have fun. Look at verse 23. And bring the father calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this man, this my son was dead. And now it's alive. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are in the natural mind, you are dead spiritually. You are dead. And only God who has made us alive can recover you from that. Only God. Only God. Do you see it? Do you see the implications? We are born as a natural person. We are born in different homes, in different countries, and in different cultures. And we are born. And we are raised. The best papa and mama can raise us up. But our tendency and the natural behavior is to be me and me and me. Everything I worry in life is me. Is me. And is me. And then God intervenes. Something happened. Maybe not so bad like the prodigal son, but something happened. And then you can see, at the moment that you are seeking, you do not see. But I can see when people relate to me what they are doing, studying the Bible and doing this, I can see God pulling their life with it, little by little into the presence of God. And I want to tell you, it is guaranteed that if you go to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never be rejected. You're always going to find the same experience of the prodigal son. You're going to find the Father ahead of you. And before you say, Father, He is saying to you, oh, welcome to my house, son. This is God. So now you become a spiritual person. You don't went to seminary. You don't study anything. You just got convicted. You just got convicted. You just knew. And you cannot explain how. But you know that you were wrong. You cannot explain it. Nobody can teach you that you are wrong. Nobody. As a matter of fact, somebody tell me you are wrong. Oh boy, I get all the weapons ready to go. Me wrong? Oh no. All right. So, Chris, you never tell me I'm wrong. Okay. Now, here's what it is. It happened to all of us. Then God embraces us. Embraces. Which person are you? And you are listening to me now on the radio. You are listening to me over the internet across the world. And you will listen later on, maybe in Korean and in another language. Let me ask you clearly, which person identified yourself in this parable? Are you the natural person who said, it's me? Or are you the spiritual person that said, one day God, full of mercy, brought me into his kingdom. That's what we opened the doors of this church, to let you know there is possible a way to God. We have not made a way. He made a way. He made a way out of these wonderful and remarkable circumstances. He has compassion. Remember? He has compassion. Amazing. He has compassion. No question to ask. You come to God and he's not saying, okay, tell me 10 years life, recite for me. No. You come to God and say, God, I try to look for you everywhere, or I don't try to look for you, and everything goes wrong in my life. Where are you? And they say, I'm right here. And he starts initiating through his word the work of reconciliation. And Corinthians, Paul told the Corinthians, who were very picky people, the church of Corinthians, they thought, you know, those legalistic people, they all had to be done this way. And Paul said, our God, we have the gospel of reconciliation. Not a gospel of law, but a gospel of grace. People are from different corners and different way, and grace was in that way, was a port where they've been, and people come from everywhere. It doesn't matter what nationality, what race you come from. The key is, if your soul saved, have God resurrected your life. Oh, may God work in your life. The first character of the Bible is a man who said, I have sinned. Have you said in your life, I have sinned? How you say that? I have sinned. God, receive me into your kingdom. May God give you the strength and the power. And may you receive the compassion of God into your heart. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Because sometimes we have to come down to nothing in order to see you. We thank you that the natural man doesn't see anything. We can learn all kinds of things in our own way. And Father, thank you that one day you look for us. And you press us. And you move us into the kingdom by your hand of compassion. Oh God, may we the believers have compassion on the unbelievers to show them the way. Thank you, Father, that many of us are in your kingdom. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen.
word, and the picture today was a life down the hill and up the hill. Lord, one thing impressed me, to me, is that you were waiting. You were the one who initiated everything. I have no enough word to say thank you for the salvation you gave me and for the salvation you gave to every one of your children. Bless those who are not yet there, that they may reason with you and start the reconciliation process. May your compassion reach them even today. In Jesus we pray. Amen.